Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program right here on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Wednesday, October the 29th, 2025, in case you were wondering what day it was. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Brother Fred Jackson.
How you doing?
News director, American Family Radio.
Go Blue Jays.
Go Blue. Hey, that's right. I watched it last night, the World Series, Game 4.
Tied up 2-2.
Yeah, so 2-2. As an observer without a team involved, I hope that the World Series goes to 7.
Yeah. It's been filled with dramatic moments.
Yeah. 7 games. I wanted to go 7 games. I wanted to go to the 9th inning.
At least.
With 2 on, 2 out.
Game 3 went to 18 innings.
I know all sports have their, their high drama moments, so to speak. But baseball is just hard to beat because I'm talking about when you get to the end of the season.
Yeah.
World Series. They played 162 games. They've gone through the playoffs. Here they are. They may never be here there again in their lives. They may never, those players. Who knows? If you can go once to the World Series in your professional career, you know, that's kind of what you long for. But and when it gets down to the batter is waiting, the fans are waiting, and the pitcher's waiting, and there's that drama because there's – seconds at least between pitches and just like what's going to happen right here that's going to change the dynamics of the whole World Series.
And it's so much dependent upon, I know it's a team sport, but those moments you're talking about, it's mono, mono. I mean, it's the pitcher and the hitter.
Yeah.
There's strategy and tactics. Yeah. There's how is the batter done earlier in the game.
Right. And tell me again how fast this pitch is coming in.
Yes. And where it's going to land.
So you have, you don't even have a second to make up your mind on whether you're going to swing the bat or not. That's how skilled these athletes are. Of course, that's why they get paid the big bucks. All right, so the World Series Game 5 tonight in Los Angeles. Tim Wildman here with Ed and Fred. Wanted to mention before we get into the news of the day that we are now on the air with our radio station, our new radio station, in Des Moines. As far as I know, there's only one Des Moines.
Right.
It's kind of like Elvis or Cher or Bono. There's only one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So Des Moines, I don't have to tell you it's Iowa. Des Moines, Iowa, we're on the air. So if you have friends or family who care what you have to say, the frequency is 89.3. So if you're in Des Moines or it's about a 25-mile radius, I guess we're covering, maybe 30, maybe more, who knows. But we are now on the air in Des Moines at 89.3 KJMC is the name of the call letters there. But the main thing is where it is on the dial, 89.3.
So we really do rely on our listeners to be our best advertisement. So if you've got friends or family in that area, just let them know that
we're on the air.
We're on the air.
American Family Radio, 89.3. All right. Again, you're listening to Today's Issues. By the way, I'm going to be in Oxford, Mississippi on the campus of Ole Miss late this afternoon with 10,000 people or more.
You've switched to Ole Miss now as a fan? No? Then what's this all about?
Well, no, not exactly, Ed. As a Mississippi State graduate, I can't do that.
Right.
But I'm going to Ole Miss because they're hosting the Turning Point USA event with Vice President J.D. Vance and Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica. She's going to be there, too, speaking, and I'm so excited about being a part of that. The Ole Miss campus from where I am is about an hour, so it's, you know, not a big deal as far as the drive goes. I would drive a lot longer than that to see and hear those two, but it's going to be – I think it's the first event where Erica has spoken, you know, since – well, she was at the White House. We all saw that to receive the...
That was at the memorial service, right?
The memorial service was in Phoenix.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Remember, I'm talking about President Trump gave Charlie Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yes.
And she was there to... What do you call it when somebody passes and they get a...
Posthumous?
That word. Gave that to him. Do you remember what you didn't watch that? We watched
it about 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. At the White House. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she will be there. I think the main point of this event and others that Turning Point USA has continued to do is to carry on the legacy of Charlie Kirk, of trying to reach young people, students with the truth about the gospel of Christ, and also about what's happening in our country and how you can make a difference.
Because all of these were already set up. In fact, Charlie Kirk was assassinated at the first
one.
Of his tour.
Right. He would have otherwise been at Ole Miss today.
Right.
Or one of his campus stops.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, looking forward to, and I'll be here tomorrow to report on it. We've also got a couple of our reporters going over.
Chris Woodward for our radio news team is going to be there, and Billy Davis for our AFN.net. So full coverage.
I think Matthew White with the Stan magazine will also be going with your guys.
Yep.
I think so. So.
Okay, I read a rumor. You know, we're big on rumors here.
Oh, man.
That's what Christianity, you know, that's part of the essential.
Is it rumors and rumor. Gossip?
Isn't that what it says in the Bible?
Oh, wars and rumors of war?
Yeah, well, did I say that? So I'm caveating. It's really not a rumor. It was a reported story that Vice President Vance, who people assume to be the candidate for the GOP for president in 3 years, that he is best friend. His best friend in the administration is none other than Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, who the rumor was, you know, a few weeks ago that these two were rivals to win the nomination as for the GOP. I know we're a long way from that. I mean, people.
You mean in 2028?
Yeah, 2028. Okay. When President Trump steps down.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to, but. But anyway, assuming he steps down and says I'm not running again, which the Constitution says something about that, I think. But it would be VP Vance. And
he'd clearly be the front runner.
He'd clearly be the front runner. So I think it would be a dynamic and very formidable duo should Vice President Vance and Marco Rubio be the ticket.
I like Marco Rubio. I've always liked Marco Rubio. I've mentioned on air before. There were some things that he stood for with regarding immigration, a couple of the things I didn't care for, but he's very solid on the Constitution, Christian man, very articulate, good debater, sticks to his guns. I like both of those guys.
Yeah, me too.
And Marco Rubio would probably help with maybe with Hispanic votes. I think you're right. I think they would be a formidable duo.
Yeah. Who would be the Democrats right now, Fred? Who would they pick? Is Kamala going to come roaring back?
Roar.
She's going to come roaring back.
But
she going to word salad her way back in, Fred, to leadership there in the Democrat Party?
Yeah. Newsom, Kamala Harris.
Oh, I got they, somebody
the
else.
The stable might... right now doesn't look really good for the Democrats.
Well, what about Zohran Mamdani?
Here he goes. Brad,
We're going to talk about it. If he wins the mayoral race for New York City, I don't know that he could run for president in 2028, but certainly.
Is he old enough?
He's 33 right now.
Then he's not old enough now.
But he would in 2028, right?
Yeah.
He'd be 35. And yeah. he'd be
we're getting out ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, way ahead
bit.
Of it.
Yeah.
And as you said, it is out in the future, 2028. We're assuming J.D. Vance is the front runner if nothing happens between now and then.
Well, that's how things work normally.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Mr. Mamdani in just a second, but we wanted to update folks on Hurricane Melissa. Hurricane Melissa is now a Category 2. But that's after doing extensive damage to Jamaica. It hit Jamaica 24 hours ago. We talked about this. Has a Category 5. And if you've seen some of the images coming out of Jamaica this morning, there is just devastation. That's all you can talk about. You know, it is horrible. It has now gone through overnight through Cuba. We're now seeing images from Cuba. And now it's moving on to the Bahamas as a Category 2. And people may think, oh, it's not a Category 5 anymore. Category 2 can do a lot of damage as well. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed coming out of Jamaica, a fairly low death count, single digits, as of this moment.
Right.
I am sure searches are underway for people who have not been accounted for. The officials in Jamaica this morning are saying they're hoping that the main runway in Montego Bay or Kingston will be open by tomorrow. And that is really important because relief efforts can land their airplanes like Samaritan's Purse and some of these others will be able to land their airplanes to begin helping people. But stay in prayer. After the Bahamas, they say Melissa's going on to Bermuda. Melissa's not through yet, let's put it that way. But
well, Jamaica has 3 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying 77% of the island is without electricity right now.
Yes.
Of course, it's a warm tropical climate, so you know, electricity matters more for, I guess,
refrigeration.
Yes, those kinds of things, not necessarily, you know, your house, and you know the traffic lights and the
just electricity
the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Right.
I would one of the things you mentioned, Fred, you know, in terms of Category 2 or 3 hurricanes, you know, people say, oh, like you said, it's not a Category 5, but you've got to remember a lot of these island nations are relatively flat.
Yeah.
Some of them have some mountains because, you know,
Jamaica's mountainous.
Yes.
Yeah, but
and Cuba.
But it's not usually the mountains aren't usually high enough to to drain a storm to break it up. Like it can sometimes if it hits.
Oh, I see what your point. Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, these hurricanes still sometimes just roll right over these island nations. So 77% without power, assuming that they had power before. Jamaica is a pretty poor nation, but it's still going to be a lot of devastation and they'll need a lot of help rebuilding.
Yeah, and tourism is a big part of their economy.
Yeah.
So the Montego Bay area took a direct hit, pretty much. Can you pretty much direct? I'm not sure my words there. But it was that's what I saw reported. Kingston, which is the biggest city, didn't take a direct hit. Now, they still got, you know, a lot of damage because of the winds.
Yeah.
But you're talking about a direct hit from the eye wall of this hurricane would have been 160, 170, 180 mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
That would destroy crops, anything in its path.
Well, I've seen video of roofs coming off buildings.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, but that's really been the only major hurricane this season. And hurricane season is about over because it usually lasts from August to November.
Uh-huh.
And so it's about over. So, by the way, Bill Gates, we mentioned this yesterday. You weren't on the program yesterday.
Right.
Bill Gates, who I know you're a fan of,
I don't even like his computers.
He said yesterday or the day before that he had given a lot of money and a lot of attention and his and words of his toward fighting global warming / climate change over the decades. And he's dialed that back now.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, big change from 2020. This is what Bill Gates was saying about climate change and its dangers to the globe back in 2020. Cut number 13.
Well, certainly climate change will make entire ecosystems die off. It'll make parts of the world, you know, impossible to live in.
Yeah, that's what he was
saying.
That
was him in 12 years ago?
2020.
Oh, 2020. Okay.
5 years ago.
Okay.
Now he's really dialed it back.
Yeah.
Now talking about, you know, global devastation. Nah, not so.
Right.
Yeah, and he says that people, quote, will be able to live and thrive in most places on Earth for the foreseeable future. Okay. Well, okay, welcome to the sane side of the street.
Right.
What happened? That's my question. What's gone on in his brain?
Well, that's a good question. A pop science is what I would call it. Listen, I'm getting in deep here, and I don't even know what I'm talking about for the most part. I would just say this: it became trendy mm-hmm. among elites.
Oh yeah,
to buy into the whole global warming, climate change. And so they were all flying around the world on their private jets, having conventions where they patted each other on the back, saying, hey, we're all trying to save the planet here, aren't we, from global warming and from climate change. And so I don't know how much these people actually believe their own words as much as they were trying to fit in with their peer group. That's what I think happened here. And he's only acknowledging what, like you're saying, Ed, the sane side of the road. There may be climate change.
Right.
And guess what? There's probably been climate change since the dawn of creation.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it by not driving your SUV using gasoline.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. He says, this is, I'm looking at a New York Post op-ed. On his change of heart, talking about Bill Gates. He says now, quote, the faster people become prosperous and healthy, the more lives we can save, end quote. So it sounds like he is starting to delve into the reality here that what you want to do is get some of the poorer countries developed so that people can stay healthier, eat better, get more a better education and all those kinds of things, and that's really how you're going to save lives.
But let's just note here before we move on, these people like Bill Gates, they can't get away with predicting gloom and doom 5-6 years ago, and some of them have been going on with this for 20-25 years. End of the world as we know it, the oceans are going to rise, all this stuff. We're going to have super hurricanes that are going to be slamming our planet, which that hasn't happened.
No more ice in the North Pole.
Right. All these things, are going to happen. No, they said those things, and now a person like him, I'm glad he is acknowledging reality, but he's not going to be, his credibility's damaged.
And the science and the credibility of science in general.
Yes.
I mean, let me just put it this way, and I know we're kind of rehashing here, but I wasn't on the show yesterday, so I never got a
you
chance
need to hash.
To
you don't even need to rehash.
To pop Bill Gates, okay? Yeah. But if we had listened to him.
Right, right.
And we'd listened to Al Gore and all these other nutcases, and rather than say, hey, let's have a conversation here before we decide to shut down our economy.
Right.
If we had listened to these people, we'd be in a world of hurt. I'm talking about this country.
That's right.
And I'm glad we didn't.
That's right. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Go ahead, Fred. Next story.
Fairfax County, Virginia, back in the news. We focus a lot on Fairfax County.
What a great place to live, I got to tell
you. Wow. And particular their school system.
Yeah.
All right. We've talked about Fairfax County. They don't have a problem with boys and girls bathrooms, boys playing on girls teams, all the sort of thing. But they're in the news this morning for something different. Two of the high schools in Fairfax County have Muslim student groups. And they're in the news this morning because the Muslim student groups have been caught creating videos, they say, as a recruitment tool to get people to join their student group. But the videos depict people being encouraged to avoid the student groups, but if they say, no, we don't want to, then a student is shown being abducted and thrown in trunks of cars.
Their heads thrown, you know, covered.
Cover it up. Now, does that sound a little bit about what happened in Gaza and Israel back a few years ago? Sure it does. So these Muslim student groups are being called out on this morning, by the way. Bethany Mandel was on Fox yesterday, conservative writer, and she talks about this as just another chapter in anti-Semitism being tolerated on these campuses. Cut number 12.
I applaud Fairfax for making that step, but I think that this indicates that there's something deeply, deeply amiss in America, in the young people, and also in the schools, that there is a rot of anti-Semitism that is being allowed to fester. And I, you know, some of these Muslim students, perhaps they didn't know the line, because in classrooms around the country, there has never been a line depicted of what you can say and what is beyond the pale, because they're not being taught about the Holocaust. They're not being taught about the horrors of October 7th. Teachers' unions, I mean, a teachers' union in Chicago, I just read, they donated $10,000 to a pro-Houthi organization. All of these issues are endemic in teachers' unions, in teachers' ranks, and among students. And, you know, I'm glad that Fairfax drew a line, but it took to get to this point.
Yeah, Fairfax County, the school condemned this. Now, there was some talk about disciplining these kids, but that has not been confirmed yet. But I will tell you who has responded is CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. They say these students should be punished.
It was
Should not be punished. They were just having fun.
Well, listen, if they had done these kinds of videos with other targeted groups.
Yes.
I don't want to get into any ugliness here. What those kids did was wrong. I don't know about expelling the kids unless they are unrepentant, but they certainly should be suspended. Let me just say this. I do remember what it was like to be in high school. I did stupid stuff. You think things are funny. You're with your buddies, and okay. But the lady we just heard,
Bethany Mandel,
she's right. There has not been enough teaching or instruction on a even-handed view of what has happened to Jews, and it's in part because our public school systems in a lot of places, especially blue cities and blue states, have been taken over by cultural Marxists, and they refuse to discuss the Israel-Palestinian or the Israeli-Arab or the Israeli-Muslim situation in the Middle East, even in an even-handed way, let alone, you know, being pro-Israel. And that's why these young people would not have done videos in blackface.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Why? Because they've been told, they've been taught, they've been instructed that is insulting black students and you'll get in trouble for doing it. So why would they not do it in blackface, but they think it's okay to have fake videos of kidnapping students after what we saw on October 7th?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a time out right here. We will be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be right back.
finally, some good news. Over 38,000 babies saved and more than 4,000 commitments to Christ through the ministry of Preborn this year alone. Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Preborn's networks of clinics provide hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action across America. This is Ed Vitagliano. Will you join Preborn and AFR as we rescue 70,000 babies' lives this year? For $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and help save a baby's life. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We are live every day here from 10:05 to 11:30 Central Time on American Family Radio. And we thank you for listening. Again, we just turned a new radio station on in Des Moines, 89.3. So if you have friends or family who listen, who live in the Des Moines area, we go out about 25, 30 miles with this signal, almost to Ames. And Indianola and Winterset. Those are some of the fringe areas of our new radio station there. For those who live in Iowa, you know what I'm talking about.
And by that, we just mean fringe as far as being outside the listening area. We are not making a comment on their mental state.
That's a good point.
Yeah. These are not fringe areas.
Us making a determination on their mental state will come later. So there you go. We're on the air 89.3 in Des Moines. Tim, Ed, and Fred here. We thank you for listening. We're joined now by our colleague and friend, Abraham Hamilton III. He is a host of the Hamilton Corner, heard each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time right here on AFR. How you doing, Brother Abe?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for you at the house today.
You're broadcasting
remotely.
Yeah, at the moment, yes, I am.
Hey, you've been on the air a lot. I heard you on Jenna Ellis this morning, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah,
yes, sir, that's right.
You've been doing a lot of radio today.
Yeah, well, yes.
All right. So topic for Abe is what, Fred?
Yeah, we want a couple of issues, but one in particular. We want to talk about New York City.
New York City?
New York City?
Hey, listen, Abe, I want to play you a clip of Zoran Mamdani, who could be the next mayor of New York City. Oh. He is a Muslim. And in 2023, he had this to say about the New York Police Department, but linking them to the Israeli Defense Force. Cut number 8.
For anyone to care about these issues, we have to make them hyper-local. We have to make clear that when the boot of the NYPD is on your neck, it's been laced by the IDF.
When the boot of the New York Police Department is on your neck, the laces have been done by the Israeli Defense Department.
Defense Force. All right. Let's give some context to this a little bit, if we can. I know that's why Abe's on here, but I'll give context before he gives context. We're talking here about the leading, for those who don't know, who haven't followed this, the fellow who's probably going to be the next mayor of New York City if the polls are right. That's the voice you just heard. And he is 33 years old. He is city council. Is he a state legislator?
He's a state legislator.
Okay, yeah, state legislator. But anyway, so you might say, well, what do I care about who New York City's mayor is? I don't live there, and I'm not going there. Well, I understand that sentiment, But it does matter because it is reflective of where the Democrat Party is. And they are a major, which we know the country's half, 50-50. So the Democrat Party has a lot of influence on our country. And so we need to pay attention and know what they are advocating for and what they're saying and the dangers of some of the things they're advocating and saying. So anyway, I just wanted to let people know who might say, why do I care who New York City, elects as their mayor? So with that as the backdrop, go ahead. What we just heard him say, why would a man link NYPD? By the way, he accused the NYPD there of putting their boots on people's necks.
Brutality.
Is that common? I mean, is that, I don't know. And then them being linked to the IDF, which is the Israeli Defense Forces. What's the connection he's trying to make there?
To the point you were making to provide context, Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the Democrat in the House of Representatives, has endorsed Zohran Mamdani. The Democrat Party establishment has endorsed Zohran Mamdani. So it would not be a hyperbolic statement to say that Mamdani's position and policies have been embraced whole hog by the entirety of the Democrat Party establishment. That is not an extreme statement. Okay. That is what has transpired. Yeah. So it should be noted by the rest of the American, by all of America's people, because this is one of the two major parties in American politics currently.
What? How can you get away in New York City with running for mayor and be so openly anti-Jew? I mean, the only place in the world that has more Jews than New York is Israel.
Yeah.
All right.
A factual statement.
Yeah. So I don't understand how this guy's getting away with this without more outcry and resistance from the Jewish community in New York City.
Yeah, and he refused to condemn Hamas following October 7th. He's on record as being a supporter of the phrase globalized Intifada, and yet he's the leading mayoral candidate in New York City.
Unbelievable.
That is the type of cognitive dissonance that's present there. It's almost similar to, gays for Palestine.
Well, Abe, here's another part of
gays
this cognitive.
Gays for Hamas.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, gays.
No, another part of this cognitive dissonance. Technically speaking, how can you be a Muslim and a communist? I mean, communists are atheists.
Right.
Yeah. Muslims are, if they're actual Muslims, right, they are religious people and must consider communists.
They're for a theocracy, not a dictator, not a atheistic dictatorship.
Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah, I think which it doesn't work, first of all. But what you're finding is that this entire cabal of like kind of leftward thinking people, they're willing to align themselves for the purpose of political advancement. Like, for example, the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, who just recently publicly at a city council meeting told a Christian resident and citizen of Dearborn that he's not welcome in town. Well, he's a Democrat. He aligns with the Democrat Party, but he is a mayor. And I did a show not too long ago where you don't have formal Sharia law, but you have a practical kind of functional Sharia, to where Christians who have tried to evangelize in Dearborn have faced stoning in 21st century America.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about Zohran Mamdani. Next Tuesday, we'll find out whether he's elected the next mayor of New York City and what that means nationally for the Democrat Party. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, I just wanted to mention, Abe, I'm not sure if you read this from the New York Post, their story this morning. Perhaps Zohran Mamdani has been influenced by his daddy. His daddy is a professor at Columbia University.
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
I'm sorry, I had to say that.
Yes.
It just came out. Go ahead.
His name is Mahmoud Mamdani.
Okay.
All right. Uh-huh. Professor at Columbia University, which, by the way, within 48 hours after the massacre of Jewish people in Israel, Columbia University was the first to have anti-Israel protests. Within 48 hours after that massacre. Now, Zohran Mamdani, according to this New York Post piece, is among the founders of a group called Gaza Tribunal, a group that one critic likened to a cesspool of London-based Hamas terrorists. And this group is calling for Israeli perpetrators, I'm quoting here, Israeli perpetrators and Western enablers to face consequences over their actions in the Gaza Strip. Do you think there's some influence from his daddy?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. And the thing that's most galling to me is, you know, there are demonically inspired people. There are weirdos. There are people who are psychotic. But why would voters who would not be those things vote for this type of person as a candidate for office? I mean, you literally have, he's not only a Muslim, he's a self-described Marxist. He described himself that way. And in the hub for things like Wall Street, the economic capital of the world in a lot of ways, there is a real possibility, if not likelihood, that its mayor will be an outright Muslim Marxist.
One other thing on this, his ideas that he's put out there, talking about Zoran Mandami, that has attracted a lot of voters, evidently. We'll find out next Tuesday. Again, whether he's going to win, he's challenged by that staunch conservative, Andrew Cuomo, who's giving Mr. COVID integrity there. He's advocating for things that make people, that make socialists start crying in joy, and that is free everything. Free everything and tax the devil out of the rich people.
Eat the rich.
That's what works. That's what they think works. So he's got free. He's advocating for free food, right? Free grocery stores.
Well,
state-owned grocery stores,
city-run grocery stores, they'll be subsidized, obviously, by tax dollars, competing with privately owned grocery stores and probably driving them out of business.
Doesn't he also want the government to control the pricing of housing?
Yes.
Rent controls.
Absolutely.
Free bus fare. You can drive around. Okay,
free bus. Well,
free subways.
Work.
Yeah. Which means they will be taken over by homeless people.
Right. Vagrants.
And they'll just sleep on the subway.
It's going to become very dangerous, too.
Yeah.
Subway and the busing.
Universal child care, too. And let me toss this in, too. In terms of maybe answering your question, Tim, about why in the world would people be voting for someone, at least according to polls, the percentage of foreign-born individuals in New York City is 40%.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if that is playing into his popularity.
Right. Could be.
Because, native-born Americans in New York City, while probably still to the left, might not want to vote for a socialist, but with Cuomo and the Republican nominee Curtis Sliwa maybe splitting some of the vote too, I'm wondering if that plays into, you know, not everybody who lives in New York City, therefore, is going to be familiar with the principles that made this country great, which are not socialist.
Yeah. So, do you think he's going to win?
Unfortunately, Abraham? I do. Yeah, you do? Unfortunately, I do think he's going to win. I don't want him to win. I pray that miraculous intervention prohibits him from winning. But the signs and the momentum and the voting records of New Yorkers indicate, you know, they've had de Blasio before him. You know, they've had, you know, these, you know, other folks, and they seem to be supportive of this Mamdani-ism. You know, he was literally on the Fox News channel about a week or so ago, once the peace deal was brokered and Hamas was literally bringing out Gazans and murdering them in broad daylight in public in front of everybody. And he was asked, will you call on Hamas to put their arms down? He refused to do so. He refused to do so. While previously he'd been on record calling for gun control in America, he would want to cause Americans to be prohibited from our Second Amendment rights. But he refuses to tell Hamas to stop murdering Gazans, Arabs, in the Middle East.
Abe, so why, you know, we've been talking about, you mentioned the establishment in the Democratic Party, because over the weekend, or maybe it was late last week, Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on the stump with Mamdani, on the stage with him, mm-hmm. Kathy Hochul, mm-hmm. the governor, all right?
Yep.
Why, I mean, is the Democratic
Hakeem
Party—
Hakeem Jeffress, the congressional leader?
Yes. Is the Democratic Party embracing socialism as its platform?
Yes. Ed, yes, well, they are. They have been functionally embracing it.
Yes.
Now they're formally embracing it because the socialists in the Democrat Party are the ones who have the momentum. They're the ones who are driving the policy development and the policy debate within the Democrat Party. They are formally endorsing and embracing socialism. Formally now.
As far left as Chuck Schumer has been for the Democratic Party, if somebody primaried him from the left, I think Schumer would lose. You know, some people are talking about AOC maybe challenging uh-huh. him for his Senate seat. I think he would lose. I think that's how far the Democratic Party has shifted to the left, and its foot soldiers, the young people in their party, are not going to tolerate. I mean, listen, we talked about why Kamala Harris did not pick Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, as a running mate, that it was because he was Jewish, and yeah. and they were afraid they would lose support in the general election from their base. That's frightening if you're a Democrat, a traditional liberal.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. All right, Abe, what's coming up this afternoon on the Hamilton Corner?
Well, to the point that Ed just made, some people have surmised that a part of the reason why this government shutdown is where it is because Chuck Schumer is afraid of being challenged in the primary from the left by AOC, if not somebody else. And with a moment of clarity, it seems, all of a sudden people like Caitlin Collins at CNN and Cassie Hunt at CNN are beginning to challenge the Democrat rhetoric concerning the shutdown. So we're going to talk about the shutdown. We're approaching the second longest shutdown in American history. The longest was 35 days from the end of 2018 to January 2019. We're approaching that with this government shutdown. So having some media clarity in communicating the fact that the Democrats are now using a rejection of Obamacare as passed by Democrats is the basis for their argument for maintaining the government shutdown currently, because the only thing that would happen is that Obamacare would go back to what was passed by the Democrats when the Affordable Care Act was initially passed.
All right. Thank you, Abe. Have a good day, my friend. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Abraham Hamilton III, not the second. That was his daddy, the third. They're joining us from a remote location. Tim, Ed, and Fred, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Any idea why, if we start going down this rabbit trail, maybe we won't come back, which would be rare. What's your number one thought on why these big cities, and by big, I mean cities maybe over, say, 2 million people, almost all go blue and become Democrat only elected officials? Any particular reason for that?
This is my opinion. I'm not sure this is accurate. I think it's possible. During Jim Crow in the American South, when blacks were subject to systemic racism, there was a large movement of black people out of the South into big cities up north where they could live in peace, get good paying jobs. A lot of them worked, you know, throughout what we now call the Rust Belt and manufacturing. They could have a good life. And those cities were largely run by Democrats because of union power. And so they just became lifelong Democrats, and they have.
You're talking about the black voter.
I'm talking about the black voter, and then other probably minorities. When you come to this country from a foreign land, you gravitate towards big cities, so you can find jobs. But also you can find your community, your people who speak your language. Reason I know this is because my mom, who was born in Greece, when her family moved to this country, they moved to the Boston area, to Lowell, Massachusetts, where there was a large Greek-speaking population. So you're going to get a lot of foreign-born people moving to big cities, a lot of minorities who are moving here to try to build a good life, and then you just fall into the political alignment that exists. And I think that a lot of these big cities have remained blue because the people who have a history there stick with the party that was on their side when okay. their dad okay. and their granddad were voting.
Kind of gets into one of those because it's always been this way.
I think so.
Because I'm thinking about Philadelphia, New York, Boston, Detroit, Chicago. For example, those cities come to mind. There are others that are, it's like the bigger the city goes, the bluer it becomes. And I'm just wondering, why is that dynamic true? When you leave those big cities, Atlanta's becoming like that. Atlanta proper, not greater Atlanta, but I'm going like, when you leave those big cities, then you get out to, it's to more small town rural areas, then they're all, it's red.
Yeah.
We've all seen the maps.
Right.
Right. You go to, for example, you go to Missouri and you look at the map, it's a red state, Missouri is, but St. Louis and Kansas City are going to be blue
right.
when the voting comes up. And you're going to, why does somebody living in St. Louis different than somebody living in maybe another, I say Columbia, Springfield, for example? Why? Anyway.
With what Ed was saying, I believe also, and I know I often go back to this, it's also the way the last two generations coming up have been educated, that the Republican Party, capitalism is evil.
Right.
And so you have politicians who come along and say, we're going to go after those rich guys who are making your life miserable, and right. we're going to even That's everything true. Out.
Well, that does appeal to you if you feel like you're, you know, not, you know, go after the rich people.
Well, let's
without defining what rich is exactly.
And let's face it, you know, since the 70s and the 80s, manufacturing jobs have by and large disappeared from big cities, and so finding good paying jobs has been next to impossible in a lot of cities. I know this is a broad generalization. So you're going to have more poverty in those big cities, and therefore you're going to become more reliant on government subsidies to be able to take care of your family. And the Democratic Party promises those subsidies. And they say, and the media says along with them, the Republicans want to take those subsidies away. And so yeah. you're going to be right. locked into right. the Democratic Party
right.
forever.
Right. Another big factor here, we don't have time to go into it very much. I told you it'd be a rabbit trail, and it's a long one.
But this is a good it's discussion, important. Though.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. The other factor here is that I think is very important in deciding why are the big cities in America all blue, almost all blue. I don't know, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, are they? I'd have to look at that. But
purple,
yeah, purple. So the unions. The unions are still that while they're not don't have the power of their heyday, you know, which would have been probably before 2000, maybe before 1990. The unions that they became less powerful, but still in these big cities. The unions are very powerful, and their bosses, so to speak, are almost in cahoots with the Democrat Party, and so they're the union leaders. They tell their members, and their members and the family members of their members,
right.
what's in the best financial interest of you. I'm looking out for you, and there's no Republicans. Mixed in with the unions. You know what I'm saying?
That's an excellent point because in big cities, the city becomes a huge employer.
Right.
Whether it's
and their tentacles reach out to
Yeah, and those are going to be union jobs.
Right.
And so, again, to your point, not only are the unions still, because the unions watch each other's back. Teamsters Union watches the back of the educating, the teachers unions. And the influence does flow to family members who might not be in the union.
Right.
Are you going to vote for someone who's going to break up our union and take away my job? So I remember in my dad's side of the family, there were a lot of blue voters in the Boston area because they were, you know, one was in the fire department. And so those conversations got a little hairy. You don't support the union. I'm feeding my family because of that. I think that's probably a good explanation as well.
I think that's a big deal, especially in the North. But still, the unions are very powerful in big cities across the country. You're listening to Today's Issues. We got about a minute or two left. You got the monkey story, Fred?
Oh, yes. Well, we've got...
Hey, where the monkey is.
We got a monkey on the loose.
Yeah, we do.
Here in Mississippi.
In southern Mississippi.
Right.
Very briefly, because we were jammed up for time here, truckload of monkeys on its way to a university in Louisiana.
Tulane, I think.
Had an accident yesterday.
Hey, hold on, Fred. We can't rush this
no,
story.
You're right.
Okay.
We're going to hold on. People, if you want to know about the monkeys in Mississippi, okay, that's what we're going to title this next segment.
You're going to have to come back after the break.
It's MMM. It's Monkeys Missing in Mississippi. And Fred's got that story for us.
We've already covered Mom Dottie.
Mom Dottie's been covered. So that M's been covered.
And Melissa.
Melissa.
And Melissa.
There you go. Ed, that's good, Ed.
Yeah, we're paying attention.
Well, Melissa and Mom Dottie, we've already covered. But Monkeys Missing in Mississippi.
And Muslims.
That's right. That's enough. we get it. Okay, you're good at this, and we understand. All right, and we shall return for you listeners in Minnesota, Missouri, and Montana, and Maryland.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.